I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me and DJ Hot Diggity.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here in the morning time with me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm excited.
It's such a pleasure. Would you please tell the audience about yourself and your show?
So I usually just go by Diggity, but on air I use my full God-given name, which is Hot Diggity. And
I got so many mistakes not to make today.
I do a show, actually, my show is later tonight. It's from 5 to 7. And on my show, Welcome to Heck, I do, I guess, just a whole lot of talking about capitalism. It's mostly talking about capitalism and imperialism, mm-hmm. and the way that it affects us and our planet and the other people who live on this planet with us, because it affects everything we touch. Mm-hmm. And I think people like to think of capitalism as this like compartmentalized thing that they can just identify when they want to and just ignore when it suits them. I mean, that's like, you know, privilege is a symptom of capitalism, I feel like. So I feel like a lot of people kind of dive in that direction most of the time and just try to pretend that the things that are not happening because they don't affect those people, but that's privilege. The privilege is to not be affected by something that affects other people. So I talk about a lot of that stuff on my show, because Little Queen Trashmouth and I, Dream Queen as well, we... when the three of us are together, we spend a lot of time talking about this stuff. So this is going to be a pretty normal conversation for us, I feel like.
Yes, I love it. But I just want to say thank you for bringing up the way that people get selective about how they address capitalism, climate change, imperialism.
Yeah.
Because I'm nervous that when, if... however, the conversation about Palestine mm-hmm. gets shoved under the rug here pretty quickly. It's going to happen very soon, that we lose track of the other movements that have been brought to the forefront because mm-hmm. eyes are on Palestine.
Yeah.
And I'm talking specifically about Sudan and Congo and how Black Africans really don't seem to matter to most people.
Yeah.
And when I see people going through the streets at the protests, especially in places like Amsterdam, Sweden, Netherlands, mm-hmm. London, and they are making deals with their universities around divestment, they're talking about where these certain encampments at certain schools are now moving, you know, away, are now being shut down by right. the people putting the protests on, because they're in negotiations now about the divestments with their staff. But what about all the people and children and Black Africans that are dying for that phone you have in your hand?
Yeah, for that car.
Yeah.
That electric car.
Yeah. And the people in India and, you know, all over, that, you know, Sri Lanka, like all of the ways that human slavery and human trafficking are happening
yeah.
that seem not to matter very, weren't loud. And I think some of the reasons they're not loud is because, not just because they're Black, although that's a big part of it.
I think it is a huge part of it, unfortunately, yeah.
It's the, I mean, we're trained to hate that.
Yeah.
And think that they're automatically less than and indispensable because there's a countless amount of African bodies to
right.
feed the system.
Yeah.
And also they don't have those phones that they work for.
Yes, exactly. And that is actually, I think, the only point, if anything, that I have to make when it comes to talking about all of these situations, all of the various situations of suffering around the planet. I think one of the only reasons that Palestine is at the forefront of these encampments for solidarity and peace, for these protests, for the marches in the street, is because it is the closest thing to televised that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I have seen almost, me personally, and I like to think that I'm kind of up on my stuff when it comes to like knowing what's going on in the world, especially as it applies to imperialism and capitalism and how it branches two parts of the world. But even I have seen barely any footage. I've seen barely any information even when it comes to the other things that are happening, the other genocides that are happening on the planet. I know almost nothing about them. Information on them is weirdly, incredibly hard to find, mm-hmm. Which is something that I'm trying to expand on more myself, just knowing more about these things because they are happening and they're no less horrifying than what is happening in Gaza. It is the same level of horrifying in all of these places. We're just seeing one of them up front. The other ones are kind of behind the scenes, in the shadows. And it's like you say, because they don't have the technology that they are working for, that they are dying for. They don't have that technology. They can't, you know, open their fancy phone. And some of them work for, what is it, cents a day?
If anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How on earth are they supposed to end up having a phone to try and get their message out to the world? But I think that it also has to do a lot with, obviously, the people who, like, the people in power, as we say, the people who run all of this. It is very intentional. So many people prior to October 7th had no idea what was happening in Palestine and the occupied territories. I'm one of those people. I didn't know much. I knew it was bad. I knew there was apartheid. I knew that there were two different systems of law for the people who were living in the occupied territories. I knew that they took prisoners. They took hostages, as they continue doing. I knew a lot of this stuff, but it wasn't in my face. So if nothing else, I guess I'm calling myself out right now. I was totally living in that comfort place of privilege, despite talking about capitalism and the ravages of it. I was unfortunately one of those people that, like, it wasn't right in my face. I knew Palestine wasn't free. I said free Palestine all the time and knew what it meant, but I didn't know quite the degree to what it was happening, to what was going on. And I never bothered to look into it. And that's totally on me, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that that's what a lot of what we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. Even though Palestine is, like, a big issue on the plate right now, I think a lot of people get too close to seeing real world suffering and immediately back away. Mm. I think that that's a lot of what we're dealing with, is quite literally the privilege of the people who could do things, who could change things. We talked about this last night, celebrities and the blockout movement that's happening right now. Mm. Celebrities could do things to change this. And, you know, I think a few of them, Lizzo, I believe, was one of them, came out and was like, we don't have as much power as you guys think we do. And so. I know. I was so upset when I saw that video. I was like, babe, not you. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, you know, she was under fire last year.
Yeah.
I had to put pause on Lizzo for a second because... That, you know, that's
which I hate because she is so talented.
I know, but you can't. The allegations.
Yeah.
The allegations.
Heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy stuff.
So, you know, it doesn't really surprise me that she would be like, well, what do you want me to do? Spend some of that energy that she's spending on other things.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, maybe focus some of that energy in a different protection. Protect your people, really, number one.
Yeah.
But managers find it hard to protect their employees from themselves. And so how's she supposed to protect Gaza?
Yeah. None of it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the only thing that is simple is the fact that what we are seeing specifically in Palestine and in the occupied territories, it's the least complex issue when it comes to what is going on. It is very simple. You know, we're looking at asymmetric conflict. There is nothing that can be confused about that. One side has an army and all of these weapons of war, and the other side has rocks and flip-flops and slingshots. Like, there are things that are complicated on this planet and there are things that are not. And I feel like when it comes to celebrities choosing to use their privilege to look away from these things, when to me, I mean, and I've been immersed in it for like, what, it's been almost 8 months mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. I have been heavily immersed in this. It's been the only thing on my mind most of the time. And so I have a hard time like seeing my way out of it to the point that I look at other people who are not paying attention to it. And I'm like, how can you not see this though? And I feel crazy. Mm-hmm. But that is also part of the point, right? Mm-hmm. Is to make people who seek justice feel crazy because it dismisses them. It makes it easier for other people to dismiss them. So when I find myself doing it to myself, I'm like, oh, don't do that. They're not paying you. Mm-hmm. They're not paying you to disrupt yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But I do find it interesting how many celebrities have kind of like very quickly changed their tone. I mean, right after Lizzo made that video about like, you guys, you think we have more power than we really do. It wasn't very long after that. She made a video for a GoFundMe for a family in Gaza. And it was like, girl, you've got the money.
Right.
Though.
Right.
Like, why are you posting the GoFundMe? It's like when, this is like, a similar but very different example, but when Kylie Jenner wanted to be a billionaire and started that GoFundMe to be like, help me become a billionaire. Yeah. And then was on, what was the cover? It was the cover of some magazine. It was like Forbes or something like that. But she was on the like self-made billionaire list.
Hey, that's one way. You know, if people are fool enough to give it to you, you made it.
It was astonishing. The fact that people would actually be like, oh yeah, I work a 9-to-5. I work 40 to 60 hours a week. I can barely afford my rent or my food. But yeah, I'm going to send some money to Kylie because she just wants to be a billionaire.
And one day somebody will send money to me and make me one.
Right? Like if I start a GoFundMe, because I want to be a billionaire. Yeah. I don't. But if I did, I am curious to know how many people would even send me $5. Because I guarantee there are those like, you know, the billionaire simps who are exactly like you're saying, but one day it could be me. Yeah.
That's the American dream, isn't it?
Yes, that is the whole, that's all of it in a tight little package.
Yeah.
One day it could be me.
Well, tell us about the celebrity blockout.
So the celebrity blockout, oh, this is one of my favorite things lately to explain. The celebrity blockout is this campaign that happened on social media, and I think it started because of the Met Gala, and I'm not actually entirely sure. It started with the Met Gala because the same night as they did with the Super Bowl to use as like a way of distracting people. Right. Then they attacked Rafa the night of the Met Gala. But it started with the Met Gala because tickets to this event are $75,000 just to get in. That doesn't include the insane outfit that you wear. I'm sure there's food and drink, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff that goes along with it. But this is also such an elitist event. You have to be handpicked by Anna Wintour in order to attend the event.
And who's Anna Wintour?
She's the editor in chief of Vogue, I believe. She was the person that they made the movie Devil Wears Prada about. I think that movie's about, I'm pretty sure that movie's about her.
Oh, I thought it was really about Meryl Streep.
I mean, it kind of just should have been. Meryl Streep was fantastic.
I have to admit, I never saw it. It's been in my queue forever.
It's a good, like, if you have nothing else to do, if you're kind of cleaning the house and looking over at the TV every couple seconds, like, you just watch that movie. Just get it out of the way, really, is what it comes down to. So the celebrity blockout started because of the Met Gala, and it mostly from what, so this, I'm just going to tell you from like my recollection of it, because I don't know the actual, as far as like the movement goes, I don't know exactly how it all got started. But from my recollection, the way I saw it unfold, at least, was on TikTok is where it started. And then it spread to Instagram, it spread to Twitter, it started to take over other social media sites. But it started on TikTok with an actress who I believe's name is Haley Bailey. I thought she just picked that because it was like cutesy for like, no, apparently it is actually her name. So the theme, if anyone listened to Little Queen Trash Mouse yesterday, she read this story called The Garden of Time or The Time Garden. I believe J.G. Ballard. Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't mess that up. But initially, so they pick a theme for the Met Gala every year. And the theme this year was this short story by J.G. Ballard. And it's about, essentially, I'm like, Little Queen Trashmouth and I talked about this. And we were like, did they even read the story? Like, what is happening right now? This is so dystopian and so disturbing. So the Garden of Time was the theme for the Met Gala this year. And the Garden of Time is a story about these two rich people who live in an ivory tower. And they can see over, they have this like beautiful garden of what are called time flowers. And every time you pick one, time like reverses or stops before it starts going again. But every time it only does it for so long. So you're only just putting something off for a little bit longer. But eventually, no matter how many flowers you have, it's going to catch up to you. And so there's a hoard on the horizon. And this really wealthy husband and wife are like talking about like, oh, what a lovely day in the garden. Everything's so beautiful. And they keep going down and picking these flowers as this horde of what is essentially working class people who rose up to come and tear down their ivory tower. This horde is descending on the tower. And so they keep picking time flowers to keep the horde away. But they know it's only going to last for so long. Eventually, the horde just completely takes over, and the husband and wife, after picking the last time flower, like turn to stone in the garden. They're like immortal and enshrined forever in these hoity-toity stone statues. But considering that was the theme, I'm like, how did none of you read that story? Was this a joke? Was someone like, was this a prank on someone else's part choosing this as the theme? A bunch of rich people who have to pay $75,000 just to get in while there were protesters outside. Going back to the celebrity that started the block out, Haley Bailey, who I don't know who she is or what she does. I just know that she's famous. And I have to say, TikTok is better than the damn FBI. People found out, like based on her videos, they found out where she lives and how much her apartment costs. She pays like $17,000 a month in rent.
$17,000
a month.
Why would you rent?
Why would you do that? Just buy a house, babe. Did you not know you can buy them? There's a way to deal with this. So Haley Bailey decided for some effing reason that she was going to go as Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette's story is very, it's kind of heartbreaking if I think my personal opinion. So Haley Bailey went dressed as Marie Antoinette, and for some reason, she and her PR team thought it would be a great idea to stand outside the Met Gala in front of like the common folk who are behind a barricade. And she recited, of course, Marie Antoinette's famous line, "Let them eat cake." And she's like laughing and having like such a great time. And did no one stop you before they told you that? Like, who told you that was a good idea? That is crazy.
I'm seeing it here. Let them eat cake.
Yep.
Haley Bailey. Just the TikTok audio. Well, I'm wondering, it keeps referring here to a Marie Antoinette movie.
There is a movie with Kirsten Dunst that was done like forever ago.
Huh, I wonder if they're redoing it.
That would be awesome if they were. I'm down. Well, I'll watch it.
It's funny because, you know, hi, Little Queen Trash Mouth. You mean,
hi.
We're crew. So when it's that exceptionalism.
Yes.
You know, from the list of white supremacist ideology that she brought on here a few weeks ago. And yeah, they think it's not going to happen to us, or
we're above that. It could never happen to us.
Or our clones will save us.
Yes, or that, or they're hoping they're for the clones.
They're never going to die. The clones are, they're just going to, are the time flowers clone technology?
Right.
I mean, I left my tinfoil hat at home. So.
Hey, no, oh, I like that. Second.
There's all these ways to look at it. I don't know how people think. I guess I do. I mean, I was 20 once, and I thought that I would never die, and yeah. I was immortal. And
dude, that immortal, like that sudden vigor that strikes when you're in your 20s. Oh my God, I thought I could stop a truck in the street if I wanted to. I am so glad that like I had people around me who were like, don't do those harmful things. You're not a superhero. You need to calm down. I know you're in your 20s and you're drunk, but that's not how superpowers work.
It's not. They told us PCP would do it.
It still might. It just depends on how brave you are, I guess. So yeah, it is absolutely. It's the exceptionalism that she had the audacity. She had no fear. Let's call it what it is. She had no fear in standing in this, like, who knows how much her outfit costs, because all of them are like handmade and they're made specifically for that celebrity, specifically for that event. These things cost so much money. Who knows how much her outfit actually cost? Mm-hmm. And she had absolutely no fear standing there in the street in front of these, again, normal working class people and saying, let them eat cake.
Yeah.
So she kicked it off.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, heck no, and blocked her. And they were like, hold on a dang minute. I can barely afford my rent. I can barely afford food, gas, or anything else. I don't have healthcare. I struggle to find housing. And these people just go to this event every year and they rub it in all of our faces. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it feels like they're doing. And I mean, I am obviously like pro, I am team eat the rich. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I am going to feel like they're rubbing it in my face mm-hmm. because I don't know if there's any other realistic way to feel about it. And mm-hmm. that might seem extreme, but so she was the reason that it kind of kicked off, was this Marie Antoinette outfit, let them eat cake in front of working class people on the road. But then it started to spread and people were like, hold on, don't stop at this one dumb idiot. Let's keep going. Block every celebrity who is at the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wait, hold on, it gets better. Block every celebrity company, every celebrity, block corporations, block brands, block Disney, blocks this. It turned into block everything, mm-hmm. everything that is harming working class people. And I have to say, it was like the most beautiful spark of like class consciousness that I've actually seen catch and spread. And it was so fast. It was in like a matter of 2 days. I mean, Kim Kardashian, this started like a week ago, I think. And Kim Kardashian in 2 days lost 3 million followers.
Wow.
And freaked out. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a lot of celebrities are doing that now and trying to save face. And it went from just celebrities who are at the Met Gala to just celebrities who are like too big for their britches, period. And then it, of course, started to tie in to the genocide in Palestine. And people were like, hold on. Even if you are not an outright tool and you didn't go to the Met Gala, have you said anything about the genocide in Palestine? If you've been inactive, if you have not used your platform to spread this message, then you are also getting blocked. And so now it's just a free-for-all and it's absolutely insane. It's been very exciting to watch, though.
So I love your sinister giggle. That's one of the reasons why I like to, when I hear your show, you know, because a lot of times by that time of day on a Saturday, since I'm like, never sleep on Friday nights,
yeah,
I'm starting to kind of lose it. But when I am able to tune in, I love when you talk and you say all of these mind-blowing things and then you go... I love it.
It's my umbrage giggle.
It's just that's why it terrifies me.
It's not nearly as like, it's not for the same reasons. But that's what I equivocate it to. It's my umbrage giggle.
I would put you in the ministry And I would endow you with the power to let all of these politicians write out, I will not tell lies on, and have it be like it was.
Just turn them all into puppies. They'd be a lot more harmless that way. They'd still have a great life. Puppies have a great life.
They don't deserve to be puppies.
No, they don't. I agree with that.
So speaking of platforms, I'd like you to tell folks where they can follow you online.
Sweet. Yes. So I am on Instagram and on TikTok. Those are the only two social medias that I use. I tried Twitter, I think, or X at one point. Didn't vibe with it. Wasn't into it. It felt weirdly like I don't know how to elaborate this. So I'm going to say it anyway. It felt weirdly like a meat market.
Oh,
like a social media meat market. And I did not, that's what I didn't like about Facebook either. So I'm not on any of those. I'm on Instagram at @earthboysareeasy and I am on TikTok at @diedmadaboutit.
Yes. Yes. And you can follow me and this show on In the Cab with Dream Queen and YouTube and Dream Queen_3AM. On Instagram. I got one for you. This is for the segment now. Itamar Ben-Gvir, I think I'm saying that right. Did you hear
saying that right, yeah.
Did you hear about his, what are we calling it now? If it's not Twitter, it's not a tweet. Did you hear about his post on X?
No, I did not.
When your president, Biden, Joe Biden said Joe Biden said he was going to stop sending just certain munitions to Israel if they went into Rafah. Itamar Ben-Gvir said Hamas heart emoji Biden on X.
Okay, no, I have not seen this.
Yes.
I kind of wish you guys could see my face right now because that was a great gotcha. I have not seen that. Is this, are you serious?
Yes, it's real.
Okay, I need to see it.
And I have some screenshots from this is from the Jerusalem Post. And I just got a screenshot here of the responses from other people in the Netanyahu cabinet. And this one was very disturbing to me because
his cabinet says the creepiest stuff.
Well, and so the Israel Independence Day is coming up on Monday night into Tuesday.
Oh, is it really now?
Yeah, yes, it's May 14th, 1948. They're celebrating their independence.
They're celebrating the Nakba.
Mm-hmm. And Smotrich, who is...
What an evil-sounding name, can I just say, first of all? Smotrich? Bro, get out of here with your villain name.
So he said, when the state of Israel was established, we were compelled to declare our statehood despite the strong opposition of Marshall, the Secretary of State, and the Truman administration. We also had to face an arms embargo implemented by the United States against a state that was just newly formed. Once again today, we will achieve complete victory in this war, despite President Biden's pushback arms embargo. We simply have no choice, as this war is an existential one, and anything other than complete victory will put the existence of the Jewish state in danger. Also, opposition head Yair Lapid?
Yeah.
Wrote on X, if Netanyahu does not fire Ben-Gvir today, he is endangering every soldier in the IDF and every citizen in the state of Israel. Because he didn't reprimand Gvir for making that comment.
Yeah. Okay, this is also, while Itamar Ben-Gvir is recovering from a rollover car accident.
Jeez.
That happened.
When was
that? That was like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about 2 weeks ago. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But then it was like the next night, I don't know if it was another member of their cabinet or a minister, but also got into a car accident. It was like, what is happening with the traffic accidents right now in Israel?
Right. There's a lot of wild things that are coming out. It was released by the New York Times.
Yeah.
That Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about his brain
RFK.
Worm?
What? No, what?
Sorry.
Brain worm?
Yeah, he had a parasitic brain worm, and the New York Times just broke that story.
Bro.
Because there was questions about his mental capacity to be president.
We should be questioning everyone's mental capacity to be president.
Well, I'm wondering how many people have brain worms.
If he had one, like, how did they even find that? How did they suddenly discover, like, oh, dude, you got
it? It was during a divorce deposition.
Wait, okay. Yeah. This is insane.
Yes. The things that Amy Goodman and them be telling people, y'all got, because the other thing that I wanted to ask, and we're not endorsing anyone here, but
yeah,
I want to cite sources because people are like, y'all are just talking wildness. Right. And
you got to corroborate. It's important.
Right. And so it was revealed by the New York Times, and it came out that it was during a 2012 divorce deposition that they were talking, that he was saying that he was out of sorts because he had a brain parasite, and also something else was wrong with him on inside of him, and he's all healed up from that now. So we have nothing to worry about. That brain parasite has either completely taken over his brain or, that part of his brain grew back. I'm not really clear on how it works.
If this is alien invasion, it's not what any of us thought it would look like.
I saw some movies.
The brain worms.
What's that movie where, like, it was not Body Snatchers, I think it was Invaders from Mars, and they would come up behind people and put something in the base of their head. I think they took over a school or something.
Yeah.
And it was a little sharp thing that went in the back of your head. I think there's just a lot of things that life is trying, that movie's trying to get us ready for.
Well, I also find it funny that people are questioning his, like, mental fortitude in terms of, like, is he capable of being president? Because neither of the current two, like, the top two candidates, neither of them are mentally fit to be president.
I saw
or to have any control over, like, anybody or anything.
Yeah.
Besides their own bowels.
And they can't really. Joe Biden doesn't look like he's having a good time with that either.
No, he really doesn't.
This week we saw him on CNN or something, mm-hmm. where he was looking really confused and disheveled.
Yeah.
And learning that it's coming at him from all sides at this point. Some of the comments that I saw from some funders on Axios presented that his campaign sponsors are saying there are more Jewish voters in America than registered Muslim voters, and he needs to just stop messing around and continue the unfettered support. He just looked really stressed out.
I just wonder at, like, what point do we start to consider it elder abuse?
Right.
To keep him in that job? Like, if there was an option, would he ever even think about stepping down if they were like, hey, bud, do you want to? I have a feeling he'd probably be like, no.
No. Because you're a career politician at this point. What else do you do?
Yeah.
You know,
go hang out in a field with the cows.
Mm-mm. We were just talking about Madonna the other day. You know, it's like, what do you do after you're? I mean,
what
it's like,
is she doing?
She's still on tour.
Is the
she's
question?
She's still doing it. Now, there's some people, you know, but I mean, I guess the idea is, how do you retire from that?
How do you retire from your life?
Yeah,
that's a hard question.
Thing you've ever known.
I'm not going to say that I would know better how to do it. If I spent my entire life doing something, I would have a very hard time walking away from it. But I wouldn't make myself other people's problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I would do my best not to do that.
Do you listen to Pink Floyd?
No, not really.
There was a song called The Fletcher Memorial Home.
I'll have to listen.
And it's take all your overgrown infants away somewhere and build them a home, a little place of their own.
Yes.
And it's the Fletcher Memorial Home for Incurable Tyrants and Kings. And they can watch themselves every day from closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real.
There you go.
And it was just kind of and it evokes the image of all of these folks just aging in this harmless convalescent home.
Yeah.
Some sort of flew over to Cuckoo's Nest was not harmless, but yeah. you kind of let's just mix it. certain people get the shock treatment. Certain people get nurse ratchet.
Yeah, exactly. I really do feel like if we cared more in America about people, like in general, but I have noticed, like, I have an aging grandmother right now, and she has lived by herself since forever. She's never been in, this is the first time that we, like, put her in a facility. Because she's 93 and she broke her arm and she can't live on her own anymore. But the fact that we don't take care of people when they get to that point, unless they are politicians or people who were like famous, we don't take care of older folks Mm-mm. when they get older. And that is really unfortunate, because if we had better elder care in this country, maybe politicians wouldn't be afraid of the idea of stepping down.
Well,
they have to ride it to the end of the line like Dianne Feinstein did.
Would they, though? If and I'm just asking,
right,
if we looked at our situation like a continuation of a monarchy, some of these people want to be in power forever because it's power.
Well, and they think that they're going to be forever.
So they're like little baby kings and queens and dukes fighting it out over the colonies. It's in their DNA. It kind of,
yeah. Oh, 100%. You know? It kind of makes you wonder if there is some kind of mental situation that comes with an addiction to power. It has to do something to your brain.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Little Queen Trashmouth was talking about what money and thinking about money mm-hmm. does to your brain. Thinking about power and going after it have to do a similar thing. Mm-hmm. It has to have a similar effect. I totally butchered it last night, but apparently when you think about money, it has an effect on your brain that, like Little Queen Trashmouth was saying. Well, I butchered it and said it makes you stupider and meaner. And she was like, not quite, but that is the short way of putting it. It makes you stupider and meaner. How could power not have the same effect mm-hmm. or even more mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. than the way that money affects the brain?
I think we could get an insight on that if you watch Thursday's broadcast of Benjamin Netanyahu on Dr. Phil.
Oh, boy. I forgot that happened. Oh my gosh.
That's what I saw at 3:30 this morning that I could not. I was like, this looks so evil. I couldn't.
On Dr. Phil?
On Dr. Phil primetime.
Bro, what are you doing? What are you doing
because
on Dr. Phil?
This is the insanity that is pop culture meets bad politics.
Yeah.
Meets brain parasites.
Talk show hosts.
Is Dr. Phil really a doctor? Do you know?
I don't know. Right. And I'm pretty sure he's not. I feel confident saying he's not. If he were in a hospital, I'd hope he's getting treated, not doing the treatment.
Yeah. He started his own network. I did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole because I couldn't watch the actual broadcast, but I was like, what is this? What channel is it on? Who's doing it? Why does he have a show?
Who's the producer? What is happening?
So he's producing it himself. He's got his own broadcast, Merritt Street Media, MSM, not to be confused with MSN, the actual news place. This is... Merritt Street provides clarity and solutions on the issues and topics that matter most to Americans. Together, we celebrate human accomplishments, strive for justice, cherish family, and aim to begin and end your days feeling inspired, enlightened, informed, and connected. It's in partnership with Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is a full-on fundamentalist Christian.
I was going to say, biggest, it sounds like a cult.
Oh, yeah. It's got all the trigger words in
there. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And so...
You're reading that to me, and I'm like, oh, God, are they coming? Do we need to leave?
Yes.
Do they know where we are?
Steve Harvey is also a member of this network at this point. Yes. And so that's the idea. I got it. I didn't. The ick, and I'm sure I will watch the show.
Yeah.
And try not to go deaf from all the dog whistles that will be piercing my brain.
Yeah, because it's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot. How comfortable he was on there. Because I did watch the short that Dr. Phil produced, which him standing very wide-eyed, very awkwardly, like it's his first YouTube short. Oh, and also, everything is free. So you don't have to subscribe or pay one penny to watch any of the content from Merritt Street Media.
Wow.
Because it is the intention that people can have access to all of the right-wing religious veiled.
Of course they're going to make that stuff free. It's
completely free.
Of course they're going to make that stuff free.
And that was what he was saying in his short, was like, you can watch this on YouTube. You can watch this on my website. You can watch this here, here, and here. And it's all free of charge. And he's saying how important it is for everyone to watch it. So the idea.
Yeah, make it accessible.
Right. And so evangelicals and Zionism, you know, the Zionist Christian movement that's happening is amplifying Netanyahu's voice.
Yeah.
For the second coming.
Right. This whole thing in the Bible.
Right.
About how,
So people need to understand, you know, it's the whole thing is being framed in this whole we're right about Jesus thing.
Yeah.
And if we can make all of this happen, he's going to come back quicker.
Which, you know what the funniest thing to me is, and I know I'm definitely not the first person to say this, it's not like an original thought by any means, but if Jesus did come back, he'd be deported, he'd be thrown in a migrant facility, he'd be like, it's just insane. People would, if the real Jesus came back and people saw him for what he was, they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
No, that's not. You don't have blue eyes. You're not 6'5".
You don't have biceps.
You're not ripped.
And an AK-47.
Yeah. Where's your Donald Trump tattoo, Jesus? If you're really Jesus.
If you're really Jesus.
So cold.
Are you even Jesus without a gun?
In America, they wouldn't recognize him. Not even a little bit.
Oh my gosh, this time went by so fast.
It really did. It feels like we've been here for like 10 minutes.
I know. It's so fast. Please tell me you will come back again.
Oh, definitely.
All the way back 10 minutes ago, an hour ago, I just wanted to say I played that song by Ghost Poet, Hold the Line, because I feel like that's what you're doing every week.
Thank you.
Every day that I am watching your content and listening to your content, and you're just so inspiring. And so I want to just say thank you. You read the House bills to people.
Oh, there's
you're
so much.
Holding people to task. And I just, thanks for holding the line.
Oh, thank you for that. Gonna make me blush on air.
Good. You deserve it. You do deserve it. So tell us how more people can find you and join in the fun.
So you can find me on Instagram at earthboysrez, one big word, mm-hmm. Just like in, the movie wasn't one big word. God, I love that movie so much though. And you can find me on TikTok at died mad about it, D-I-E-D, mad about it.
And we have just 2 minutes before I'm going to duck out of here completely. Just, do you have any last words of hope for the people who might be feeling quite diminished after, you know, listening to us tell them that they need to stop acting so privileged and step in? I leave people, try to give people a little woo-woo. I think I'm too easy on them sometimes. But, you know,
that's
people always
like,
are asking me, like, what can I do, though? What can I do?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot that we can all do. If you haven't spoken up yet, for whatever reason, you haven't spoken up, you don't have to feel ashamed about it, but start speaking up. Now is the time to do it. It's never too late to join a fight for especially for, let's be honest, liberation for everybody. This is not just liberation for Palestine. This is liberation for everyone here in America. And I think that's part of why they're so afraid of letting it actually take root. That's why they have to snuff all of this out, because land back means land back. And that means Turtle Island. That means here. So they can't let that happen. So, but something else that I've also been trying to do with myself is be nicer to yourself. I know that I feel like a lot of people say this a lot of the time, and it's very like greeting card, very like Hallmarky teddy bears and rainbows. Be nicer to yourself, though. It makes a huge difference, and the world is such a rough place to be right now, especially if you are brave enough to stand up and speak up for the things that we should, for humanity, for liberation, for everybody. That means loving yourself too at the same time, because if you don't have it, you can't give it.
That's right.
So you got to take care of yourself and make sure that you are, you know, spreading that, because I found that also spreading love in my community kind of makes me feel love for myself. It kind of brings it all back around. So be nice to yourself, love yourself, be good to yourself, and fight the good fight.
You know, that's straight up the vibe of that I like to give on the show, because I think it's so important that we have to be love. And I want to have you and Little Queen Trash Mouth on, and I would like to talk about the framing video that I sent y'all, and about linguistics and how we frame our the way we talk about conflict and the way we talk about Palestine specifically.
Yeah.
And how we can just live life a little bit better through linguistics and manifest what is something that's more healthy for everyone in this planet.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to talk about climate change or how it was the hottest April ever in the ever history of time. They said it's the hottest April ever, and we've had 11 consecutive months of heating without any break in the global heating. So we have so much to talk about.
Panic.
And but we're gonna all love ourselves and have hope and faith that we're gonna make it through this.
Because there's no other way to make it through. You gotta have some faith. You gotta have some hope. Because without it, this is all just desolate, hot wasteland.
That's right. I love you. Thanks for being here.
I love you. Thanks for having me.